Acts chapter 2. You'll note that I entitled this message, Bible Salvation. I think it's what's in the bulletin. I don't have one. Bible Salvation. Because there's so much going on today that is called salvation. And there's only one way. There's only one way God saves people. There's only one true way. One kind of salvation. These people here at Acts, we're saved the same way they are. They were. Same thing happens to all of God's people. It happened here at Acts. And religion today tries to recreate what happened here. And they make up all sorts of fantastic things happening today, you know. But don't make this out to be more than what it was. Let me tell you what's going on here. Tell you what happened. The apostles were at Jerusalem for this religious feast called Pentecost. Our Lord told them to go there. You remember? He said, you go to Jerusalem and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Our Lord is building His church, and it's going to just have an amazing beginning, because it's going to have huge opposition. You see. And Brother Dan, he's going to just immediately save thousands. I mean, right like that. At one time. And send them out throughout all the world. Until this thing just spreads like wildfires. But not wildfire, but spreads. Till this thing spreads all over the world. The gospel. Well, the apostles were at Jerusalem like the Lord told them to. He said, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. And people from all over the world came to this particular feast at this particular time of year. Jews, that is. You remember reading that Jews from all over Egypt, all over the world, came for this feast of Pentecost. And they heard, or at least they heard noise. Where'd that fly go? they heard somebody say that there's some fellas over here in one place. Something's happening. We don't know what's going on, but they're speaking all different kind of languages. And they heard them talking to people in their own language, preaching to the wonderful works of God, scriptures and so forth. All right? Until finally this whole crowd gathered wherever they were. I think it was probably an open-air place somewhere. All right, now Peter, here they were, thousands of people gathered to these, they were these 12 men. And Peter got up. Peter's a spokesman. This is just one preacher, you see. Not many voices, but one voice. God, that's the way God speaks. Not through a bunch of people talking at the same time and talking a bunch of gibberish. These fellows weren't speaking in an unknown tongue. Because every one of these people heard them in their own language. You understand? And all this stuff going on today that's called tongues is false. They were speaking in languages known by various people. Why? so that these people could hear the gospel. That's why. And Peter got up. He's the spokesman now. And how they all heard him speak this in their language, God only knows. But they did. I don't know if he said this 28 times in 28 languages. I don't know, but they all heard him, Peter, what he had to say right here. And this is what they heard. And everyone God saves, they're going to hear what Peter had to preach. All right, let's look at it. Beginning with verse 22. Peter stood up. He said, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth." He says, "Jesus of Nazareth," because he's talking about a man. Yes, Jesus. You've heard, now everybody knew who Jesus of Nazareth was. This was the talk. This was the talk all over the world at the time. But Jesus of Nazareth, who he was and what he said and what happened to him, crucified. This was the conversation all over the world. Jesus. And Peter stood up, and the first thing out of his mouth was, "Listen to this, Jesus of Nazareth." And they knew who he was talking about. A man, read on. He's a man approved of God by miracles and wonders and signs. A man, yes, but approved of God. God never approved of any man. But God approved of this man. We heard him out loud say from heaven. Yes, God spoke from heaven twice and said, "This is my son." This man is a man approved of God, a man justified by God, a man accepted by God, a man declared by God, a man testified by God from heaven, a man declared to be the Son of God by God himself. Listen up now, Jesus of Nazareth is a man approved of God. And it's obvious because of the miracles and the signs and the wonders that he did. It's obvious that he wasn't any mere man. Because he healed lepers. I mean, lepers. He healed those that were born blind. I don't mean cataracts. I don't mean nearsighted. I mean blind. He healed those that were born blind. He raised the dead. I don't mean healed arthritis. I mean he raised the dead. 4 days dead. It's obvious that this Jesus of Nazareth is no mere man at all. But it's come from God. And I might add to that, it's obvious to me that this Jesus being preached today is just a man. All he can heal is arthritis and bum knees. You follow me? But now this Jesus of Nazareth is a man approved of God, evident by what he did. You all know this, he said. Verse 22. He did all this in the midst of you, as you yourselves know. Many of the persons that were there listening to this had been there and watched Christ do these things. Okay? All right, read on. Verse 23. Peter said, "Him." See who Peter's preaching? You see what Peter's preaching? Person. "You men of Israel, hear these words." These are saving words. "You men of Franklin County, hear these words. You women, you young people. Hey, I'm talking to every one of you. You hear these words. If God's going to save you, you're going to hear these words. Not with just your ears. You're going to hear them with your heart. There's a man that walked this planet named Jesus. Not just a man. He made you. It's evident he's not just a man, but what he did and what he said. Him. That's who we're talking about this morning. Not just preaching doctrine here, not just preaching another message. That's just a Sunday morning sermon. This is life. This is death. You listen up. Him. This Jesus of Nazareth that came here. Him. He was delivered. Him being delivered, read on, by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Peter's saying, I know that the Jews delivered him to the Roman rulers. I know that the Pharisees delivered him to the Roman rulers. I know that the Roman soldiers took him. But he was delivered by God. Him delivered by the determinate. That is, God before the world began determined this. God Almighty determined all this. It's not all happening by chance. Listen up. You men of Israel, hear these words now. This man that came here came on purpose. God sent him on purpose to accomplish his purpose. And that purpose was to save some folk. Now, whether or not it's you, I don't know. If you do, if it is, you're going to hear what said today gladly. Like these people. If you're one of his, you're going to hear these words. That God, before the world began, delivered him, determined to deliver him, the foreknowledge of God, sent him to this world. Verse 23. And you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. So here Peter's saying, God Almighty is absolutely sovereign in all things. That God Almighty determined and purposed this whole thing before the world began. That this is not in man's hands. Nothing is. God, by his determinate will and foreknowledge and purpose, predestinated all things, chiefly this thing of salvation. That's in his Son. God has a particular people that he sent his Son to this earth to particularly save. Now, the determinate will of God, purpose of God. And now he's talking about their guilt. You, with wicked hands, have taken and crucified the Lord of glory. How about us? I wasn't there. I didn't nail those nails in his hand. Did you? How does this apply to us? Well, I tell you this, I lived 18, 19, 20, 21 years that I didn't give a flip about Jesus Christ. I lived 18, 19, 20, 21 years where only time I used God's name was in vain. I lived 18, 19, 20, 21 years where I didn't give God one word of thanks. I might as well have killed him.
Huh? Yeah, I killed him.
This is what Paul said in Hebrews when he said that those that have trodden underfoot the blood of the Son of God and counted it an unworthy thing, that's what that means. That's what Jeremiah meant when he said, tell me, all ye that pass by, is it nothing to you? That's what that means. Fall asleep? Yeah, you killed him. You better hear these words. Man of Israel, hear these words. You have taken and crucified the Lord of glory. And if we're saved, it's going to be by this one that we don't care anything about. It's going to be by this one we're not interested in. If you're saved. Read on. Okay? Verse 24. He was crucified and slain, yes, but he's not dead. He says, God has raised him up. God, he's loosed the pangs of death. It's not possible that he should be holding up. And he goes on to quote, and I won't read this for sake of time. He quotes Psalm 16, in which it says that He won't leave His Holy One in hell or suffer, allow Him to suffer corruption. Or that is, He's not going to die like mortal men die. His body's not going to rot. I'm going to raise Him from the grave. And that proves who He is. That proves that He's the Son. He's declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the grave. This was no mere mortal man. He walked out of that grave 3 days after they killed Him. Now, this was getting the attention of these people. This was getting the attention of those that heard Him. This Jesus of Nazareth, you saw Him dead, you killed Him, you see. You killed Him. He's not dead. We saw Him alive. He talked to us. All of us here talked to Him. He talked to us. And he's seen of over 500 men at one time. He's not dead. He's alive. This is not mere doctrine here. This is a person. It's not just a sermon on Sunday morning. We're talking about somebody that we're breathing because He says, breathe, He said. This is a person in whose hands our breath is. And the rest of our days is determined by His will. He's going to decide who we marry or if we marry or how long we live or where we go or what we have, what we don't have, when we die. Him. You haven't cared a thing about. Listen up. And Peter said in his message, sum it all up. He's sitting on the throne. Right now. Sitting on the throne. Look at it. Verse 32. Him. God hath raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Verse 33, being by the right hand of God exalted. And having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He hath shed forth this that you're now seeing and hearing. In other words, Peter's saying, what all is going on here? He's doing it. You hear all these men speaking different languages? They didn't go to school. They didn't. Jesus Christ gave them this language. You see all this going on? Right now, Jesus of Nazareth, yeah, who was dead, but he's not dead now. Sitting right now at the right hand of God Almighty, reigning and ruling over every human being that breathes His air, and He's doing everything you're watching right now, everything you're hearing right now. I mean, right now. Right now. 2001. Because He said, my sheep hear my voice. And I don't know if it'd be in here this morning. It'd just thrill me to death. But it'd be somewhere. I know somewhere there's a sheep going to hear His voice right now. The Holy Spirit is going to move, and that person who never heard the gospel before is going to hear it. Who never saw anything about this Christ, about this gospel, about this business of worshiping God ever before, maybe some 19, 20-year-old boy or girl, or 40, 50, 60-year-old man who never gave a flip about God, right now is going to hear from the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit's going to go, believe. Yes, sir. He's doing it right now. And it would just thrill me if He'd do it right here. And He said He's right now at the right hand of God. And Peter brought up David. Everybody knew who David was. All these Jews, they loved David. They venerated David. They extolled and honored David. He said, in a word, Peter said, people, David is dead. His bones are in the grave. But Jesus, no bones. He's controlling life itself. God, look at it. Verse 34. David said this, the Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Christ has got the two folks, there's two folks, two types of people everywhere in every congregation right now, here this morning, friend or foe. Friend or foe. A lover and a believer in Christ or an enemy. No middle of the ground. No middle of the ground yet. Believers or unbelievers. Read on. That foe's going to be his footstool. And they'll let all the house of Israel know assuredly. Now remember this. That God hath made this same Jesus. Now he's not knocking at anybody's heart's door. Listen up now. Listen up now, please. God, he's not knocking at anybody's heart's door. He's not trying to get anybody to listen to him. He's not trying to save anybody. He's not hoping you or me or anybody will make any decision. No, sir. That's not Jesus of Nazareth. But he is right now sitting on the throne, reigning and ruling over all things. And he's Lord. And our salvation will be when we realize it. And bow and submit. And believe. And Christ, the only way God will have anything to do with us human beings is through this man. Well, that's it. That's it. That's the gospel. Did you hear those words? Now, when they heard this, pricked in the heart. Look at it. Verse 37. They were pricked in their heart. They were pricked in their heart. Heart. This thing of salvation is a heart work. If there's any disadvantage to growing up under the gospel, it's this. You got all the doctrine straight. You believe the truth. But that's not salvation. Thank God. We've known the Scriptures from a child, but that's, this thing's a heart work. This thing's when God Almighty brings the truth into the heart. The truth of who God is. The truth of what we are. The truth of the matter is that I really haven't cared anything about Christ. I really haven't. I really am unworthy. That's the heart matter. They were pricked in their heart. And look at what they said. Verse 37. They all of them said, men and brethren, what shall we do? You see, these preachers, they didn't make any altar call, did they? Huh? Did you hear Peter make any altar call? Did you hear Peter ask anybody anything? Did you hear Peter say, now if you'll just accept him as your Lord? Did you hear Peter say, now if you'll come down front as the choir sing,
Huh? Did you hear Peter say, now God wants to save you. Did you hear Peter say, ask anybody anything? Did you hear Peter tell anybody to do anything? Did you hear Peter say, now Jesus wants, Jesus, let God, he's do it? Did you hear any of that? Nothing. What did he do? Declared God on the throne. Declared who Jesus Christ is. Declared our utter guilt before him. Declared us in his sovereign hands to do with as he pleases. And that's it. Now he sat down. That's it. That's what preaching is, Brother Stan. Now when they heard this, not a plea, not a begging, not a... nothing, Roger. When they heard who Christ is, who God is, what they were, when they heard this, what happened? God did something. Not the preacher. Not the choir. Not the soul winner. God did something. The Holy Spirit began to move. The Holy Spirit. Convicting them of sin. Telling them who God is. Convincing them who God is. And what happened? Now, Peter didn't tell anybody to do anything. But they did something. When God does something, when God acts, there's a reaction. Uh-huh. When God does it, it's the reason I say, you know, I hear this all the time, really, and I'm not making fun or making light of or diminishing. When I hear talk about so-and-so's interested or this person is they're seeking the Lord, I don't believe that. When God works, it's pretty quick and it's pretty obvious. See, this gives people an excuse to keep on at a convenient time or keep on just... it gives them an excuse when we say that. We just need to say it like it. You're lost. They're lost. No, they're not interested. So-and-so is really seeking the Lord. Well, where were they Wednesday? So-and-so is really seeking the Lord. Well, where were they Sunday? Well, so-and-so, we can't listen to three messages straight. Come on. When they heard this, they said something. They cried out. Sherry, they cried out. What shall we do? But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. People come to me all the time, talk to me on the phone about troubles and spiritual things and all that, and I listen. I tell them what I can, but I don't put much stock in it. You know when I put stock in what people are saying? That's when they get in that pool right there. What shall we do? What shall we do? What do we do? We believe what you're saying. We believe who God is. We believe what we are. We're guilty. We believe who Christ is right now. We see He's our only hope. We're in His hands. What are we going to do? What can we do? Would you tell me what to do? Now, the preacher is telling us. You see, he's not doing the begging. The people needing salvation doing the begging. Please, would you please tell me what to do? Okay. Brother Henry, I believe Peter got down off that pulpit and started walking off. He wasn't waiting around. See, no. I believe they're all packing their bags and leaving. And the people laid hold. Don't leave. What are we going to do?
And look at this.
Here's what happened.
Peter said, verse 38, repent and be baptized. Who? Every one of you. In the name of Jesus Christ. For the remission of sin. If you do that, the Holy Spirit will come on you. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent. What does this mean? And this, listen very carefully, okay? Repentance is to confess your guilt. That's what it is in a word. Confess to God. Not to me, not to somebody else. It's between God and the sinner. And they come to God and say, I'm guilty. Everything you say, I'm guilty. Help. Have mercy on me. Repentance is to confess what you are. Repentance is to confess your unbelief. Lord, I haven't been interested. Forgive me. I want to be interested. Lord, help. Repentance, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. To ask for salvation. Baptism. What's baptism? Repent and be baptized. Every one of you. No exceptions. What's baptism? Well, baptism is a public confession before all men of your belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, of who Christ is. It's publicly say, I believe, I believe. Now listen very carefully and see if this doesn't make sense to you, okay? You repent of the fact that you lived 20, 30, 40, 50 years and didn't care about God. You lived your whole life and didn't care about God. But now, you get in that pool and say, hey, Christ is my life. Want everybody to see it. You see? Does that make sense? That's why baptism. That's why the Lord instituted baptism. Because we live all our lives acting like we don't even know God exists before all the world. And then when He actually reveals Himself to a person, they get in front of the whole world. That's the only way, that's the way they do it. And they get in the pool of water. And it's a humiliating thing. Another man takes a person and just, this old rotten sinner needs to be buried. He comes up, oh, he doesn't look like much now, but it's all wet, all washed up. Yeah, in the blood. New person. It's symbolic. Nothing happens in that water. It's just water. It happens before you get in it. Baptism by fire. The heart burning. What shall we do? Repent to God. Confess before men. You see? Public confession. Public confession. And then he said, verse 39, now look at this, this is very important. The promise is unto you and your children, all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. As many as the Lord calls, they'll do this, every one of them, without exception. There are no exceptions. The promise. Peace, comfort, assurance, faith for those who confess Him. And let me just say this. One more thing on this thing of baptism, because it's so important. It really is. Don't expect a believer, a person, who was it said, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. What are you waiting on? Who said that? One of the apostles. I forget who. Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. You believe? Well, Christ said, confess him. That's it. And I can say this, honestly, don't expect any peace, joy, comfort if you don't confess him. It's a commitment. It's like a marriage avowal. Can't expect any assurance of his love if you don't confess it, your love for him. Does that make sense? There'll be doubts and fears. You understand? The doubts and fears of the one you love until you make the commitment. And by you. And then you can have peace and rest. It's the answer of a good conscience, Peter said. You believe? Yes, I believe. Show it. Show him. Before everybody. You tell everybody. I believe. I love Christ. Tell everybody. How? Can't go on the radio. Can't go. Get in the booth. Oh, boy. Verse 40. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. But don't die with the rest of this world. Don't die with them. Listen to me, everybody. You men of Franklin County, women, young people, don't die with the rest of this world. Don't go down the ship. Huh? Okay? Did you hear these words? God, help so-and-so to hear these words. No. Why die? Why will you die? When the gospel is being preached to you every Sunday. Repent. Be baptized. Verse 40. In many words, he did. In verse 41, they that gladly received his word. What'd they do? Where's water? They were baptized. When? The same day. You see what I'm talking about? When the Lord moves, it's obvious. What do we do? Repent and be baptized. They that gladly... we like what you... No, not like. We love what you're saying. We love this God. We believe who Christ is. We believe what we are. We believe this is the word of the truth of the gospel. Fill that tub up. I'm getting in it. I am too. 3,000. Don't leave me. I hear something. Yeah, don't leave me. Save the water. I believe. Who is it? He's 12 years old. Doesn't matter. What a service this must have been, huh? 3,000 souls. And look at what happened, too. Continuing on. They continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine and fellowship. What does that mean? Whenever the gospel was being preached, they were there. That's what it means. How do you know they believe? They gladly receive the word. How do you know they believe? They got in the pool. How do you know they believe? They started preaching. They were there. Read on. And breaking of bread and prayers. I knew a man that attended this service a long time. These services rarely, never came on Wednesday. Never came on Sunday night. He attend on Sunday morning, his duty. I never, ever saw that man partake of the Lord's table. Ever. This is generally why we used to have it on Sunday nights, now on Wednesday night. Why? People make a special effort to get that. That man never, I never saw him ever. And he's not here now. And they did. They would eat at the Lord's table. And it says fear came on them. Oh, wonders, signs. We've been seeing some signs and wonders here, haven't we? I mean, I don't mean visions, Jenny. I mean right here, haven't we? wonderful things. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things from thy word. David said, okay. God said, okay, David. Okay, Jeanette. Okay, Barbara, here you go. Signs and wonders. Huh? Have you seen it? We've seen them, you said. Read on. Signs and wonders, fear, and all that believed were together and had all things common, sold their possession, good, parted them to every man as he had need. What does that mean? Just means somebody had a need, they met it. They helped one another. By this shall all men know you're my disciple. You're not selfish anymore. Don't think about old me anymore. No. It's my brethren, my family. Me comes last from then on. That's how you know God does. That's really how you know, Nancy, when God does something. When old me is old nothing. That's everybody else. That's of God, Nancy. That's not of man. That's of God. Take an old selfish, you know, and have to start thinking about other people. Read on. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple. See that? Breaking bread house to house, eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily. This just went on. I don't know how long it went on, but daily. Such as should be saved. Oh, I want to be such as should be saved. Don't you? I tell you who will be saved. Such as should be saved. Such as God determined. Such as God elect. Such as God purposed. Such as God sanctified. Such as God called. Such as God predestined. Such as hear the gospel, the word of truth. That hear it with gladness, such as confess Him, such as can't get enough of hearing it, such as love the brethren. That's it. Oh, Lord, I repent. Forgive me. Save me. I say that right now. Right now. Save me all over again. And I confess you. All right, let's, in closing, sing number 314. 314. Let's sing the first and second verses, okay? First two verses. Stand with me. 314.